Would you like me to prompt you if there's somebody has a question?
That'd be great. Also, if you can let me share my screen.
Like the what?
Let me share my screen.
I need you. I thought I made you a co-host.
Host disabled participant screen sharing. Okay, good evening, everyone. Wait, one second. If I do this, okay, great. I'll make it bigger for everyone. Welcome. Just you get, give me 1 second, it'll be incredibly big. I used to be able to do this. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, Maurice, let me know if there's a question. Okay, and let's get started, everyone. Good evening, all. So it's been a while since we've done one of these classes. Baby, Pesach, lots going on, Baruch Hashem. But we're back. So God willing, we'll be a little bit more consistent now over the next several weeks. Okay. So what I wanted to speak about this evening is this question. Hello. This question that really, it shouldn't be a question, as I think you'll see. But because of our modern, not even modern, modern, our vibrant Jewish need to debate one another, it's become a big question. But as you'll see, so many of the sources seem to point in one very clear direction. So here is our question for this evening. It is the question of, should we recite Hallel on Yom HaAtzma'ut? Just to make sure we're all on the same page. Yom HaAtzma'ut is Israel Independence Day. It is the day on which the state of Israel declared its own independence. It took place on Hey Iyar, the 5th of Iyar. Most years, it actually ends up not falling on the 5th of Iyar. That itself is a question. Do we have the right to do that, right? So in other words, it would be as if saying, Pesach falls on a Tuesday this year, but we don't like that it falls on a Tuesday, so we want to make it on a Monday. So that's kind of the you got that this year, right? Wasn't Pesach on a Saturday this year? Oh, okay. All right. That was the worst possible option. Okay. All right. So it's kind of unusual that we normally nowadays, allow the Rabbanut, rabbis in Israel to decide when Yom HaAtzmaut is going to be. And usually they'll decide that it should be on the 4th of the Iyar, or sometimes they'll have to move it around a little bit. And it's all based on a need to eliminate as much Chilul Shabbos as possible. What that means is that because there is a wide swath of a large spectrum of individuals who want to celebrate the holiday of Yom HaAtzmaut, so they don't want to encourage people to be Mechal Shabbos, to violate the Sabbath. And the way that would happen is, well, okay, I understand. Let's say Yom HaAtzmaut is going to be on a Monday. Well, you have a problem, because Yom HaZikaron is going to be on a Sunday. And if it's going to be on a Sunday, then maybe on Saturday night you'll want to have a program. And if you have a program on Saturday night, well, then you may start preparing on Shabbos if you're not as religiously inclined, but just Zionistically inclined. So therefore, the Rabbanut in Israel always make sure that you'll never have Yom HaZikaron fall right after Shabbos, which means you're always going to have at least a minimum of 2 days between Shabbos and Yom HaAtzmaut, because of this need to eliminate any concern that anyone is going to prepare for Yom HaZikaron and then for Yom HaAtzmaut. So as such, not only is Yom HaAtzmaut not usually on the right day, but there is this larger question of, what is the significance, if any, of an individual standing up nowadays and saying, hey, listen, this sounds like a really important day. Can we make it a sanctified and important holiday, as many do, as myself included? Just full disclosure, I do say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. Our shul says Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. I shave on Yom HaAtzmaut, which is a quote-unquote desecration of the laws of mourning of Lag BaOmer, because my Rebbeim have taught me about the importance of the day. So where does this come from? Is there any ability within our own hearts to say, listen, this day seems important, so we want to say Hallel? Or maybe not at all. And as you would probably assume, it's not that there is a really a compromise opinion. Really, no matter where you fall out, whether you are very pro saying Hallel or you are very anti saying Hallel, you are in stark disagreement with the other opinion, because there are strong sources that seem to allude to one of those possible options. And if you align with either one of those sources, well, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble if that is not what you believe. Okay, so let's jump right in and we'll sort of see what the sources have to tell us. Again, as usual, if any questions, any thoughts, please feel free to raise your hand and raise a point during the class. Okay, so the first source is a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus sort of outlines the basic rules of Hallel as we know it nowadays. That is to say, when is it that we say Hallel? So the Gemara gives a rule. So source number one, as Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, on 18 days a year, the individual completes the full Hallel, and they are the 8 days of the festival of Sukkot, including the 8th day of assembly, right? That's Shemini Atzeres, the 8 days of Hanukkah, the first festival day of Passover, for us that's the first 2 days, and the festival day of assembly, aka Shavuos, and in the diaspora, where a second day is added to each festival due to uncertainty over the correct date, there are 21 days, and they are the 9 days of the festival of Sukkot, including the last day known as Simchas Torah, the 8 days of Hanukkah, the first 2 days of Passover, and the two festival days of assembly of Shavuos. So essentially what we have over here is that the basic, let's call it Torah obligation of reciting Hallel, and we can go back and forth. Is it a Torah obligation? Is it a rabbinic obligation? Whatever it is, who wants to bring me a pretty strong proof that maybe it's a Torah obligation to say Hallel? Yeah?
Well, this might not make sense, but can you like not get rebuked if you say it after? Is it Monet after?
Okay. So in other words, you're saying there's a question of punishments. Could you get punished or something of the like if you don't say it? Okay, perhaps. But I'm thinking even more simply than that. Bring me a proof from how we say our Hallel that perhaps you can automatically assume that it is a Torah obligation. Okay. There's a blessing. And what does the blessing of Hallel say? Oh, we'll get to the question of with a bracha, without a bracha. But in general, when we say Hallel on any of the other days, the holidays, so the bracha that we say is Asher Kiddishanu b'mitzvosav v'sivanu, that Hashem has commanded us to do these mitzvos. So some right off the bat would assume that Hallel is a Torah-given commandment, because we say in the bracha before Hallel, Hashem, you have given us this mitzvah of reciting Hallel. Now the answer, and the reason why that's not so clear-cut, is because there's a general understanding that when our rabbis, when Chazal stand up and say, here is the following important halacha to do, so we assume that it's as if God has commanded us. What is a good example of a rabbinic mitzvah that I think we all probably do, that we say a bracha for, that it sounds like God gave it to us, but really it was our rabbis that gave it to us? Lighting Shabbos candles would be a good example. I don't want to get into why I personally would not bring that example right now, but even more fundamental, washing our hands before bread, right? When a person washes their hands before bread, it's seemingly a rabbinic obligation, but that Hashem, you have commanded us to wash our hands. No, God really never really did command us to wash our hands when we have bread on a regular basis. We do it because our rabbis told us to do so. And so anyways, that sort of is getting a little bit off topic, but as a general rule, Hallel could be seen perhaps as a Torah commandment, perhaps as a rabbinic commandment, but when it comes to these either 18 in Israel or 21 days, these are the days that we say Hallel. And it's clear that according to this statement, this teaching in the Gemara, it's not necessarily because of a certain formula that has decided that it's not because of a certain formula that because we go ahead and say Hallel on these days, but no, our rabbis went through all the days of the calendar year and said, these are the days that we say Hallel, which would therefore mean what? According to the basic understanding that you might take from this Gemara, would we be allowed to add extra days of Hallel throughout the year? Okay, good. So at face value, you would assume that we have no right. Our rabbis got up and said, these are the days that we say Hallel, and that is it. So how dare we get up and start saying that we want to say Hallel on additional days? However, There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin that can be found in source number 2 that says as follows. I actually quoted this in one of my sermons. I forgot when, sometime throughout Pesach. The Gemara tells us, Hashem sought to make Chizkiyahu the Messiah and Sancheirav the leader of the war of Gog Umagog, but the attribute of justice said to Hashem, Hashem, King David is saying many songs before you. And you didn't make him the Messiah, and Chizkiyahu, who you did so many miracles for, and he didn't sing Shira to you, you will make him the Messiah, right? So in other words, there seems to be this clear call to action, that any single time there is a necessity to sing Shira, to praise God, namely, we obviously need to praise God whenever he does a miracle for us, whenever he saves us, so therefore, Chizkiyahu went from potentially being the Messiah, being the one to bring the salvation to the world, to not being given that honor because he did not sing songs, he did not praise God when he was told to do so, aka he didn't say Hallel because of the specific salvations that God brought to him, since he didn't say Hallel on those days, so as a result he did not become the Messiah. So therefore, what do you take out of this, Gemara? When does a person say Hallel? When there is significant reason to praise something, does it make a difference if it's communal or personal? From this Gemara, what would you say? Right, so it would seem from the implication of this Gemara that if a person experiences a personal salvation, forget about communal. Communal, it would seem to be obvious. But if a person experiences, meaning me, I myself had some real personal salvation, then I should go ahead and say Hallel. In fact, there's even a Gemara, I didn't bring it on the source sheet, although maybe I should have. There's a Gemara, a Mishnah rather, in Brachos, that tells us that any single time the Jewish people come upon an experience that they remember that on this day God saved them, so they have the obligation to remember that miracle and to say thanks for that miracle. And some examples of that is that on Passover, when we sing Az Yashir, right, when we remember the fact that we crossed over the sea, we specifically talk about this reality that we crossed over the sea on that day thousands of years prior. Because again, anytime there is a miracle, personal or communal, you should have to go ahead and praise God. So at face value right now, it would seem that you go from the point of Chazal tell us you must say Hallel on these days to, well, really, you can say Hallel, and maybe you should say Hallel on any day because of the fact that God saves us all the time. What potential problem might you run into, right? If we, yes? What potential problem might we run into if we say that we should say Hallel whenever there is a salvation? Okay, good. Not only does it lose its meaning, but how often will we probably end up saying Hallel? All the time. You might, if you are an introspective person and you realize that we don't control the world, but God controls the world, so you'll realize if you use your, religious or spiritually minded glasses or tinted glasses, so you'll see that there's miracles left and right every single day, if not every single day of this year, well, probably every single day throughout the entire year, such that by the end of a person's life, they're going to be saying how every day for the miracle that happened on this day 25 years ago, the miracle that happened on that day 37 years ago. So therefore, there becomes a clear issue of you might end up saying Hallel all the time. And that brings us to source number 3. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos takes major, major issue with anyone who says what we refer to as the Hallel HaGadol, the Great Hallel. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi said, okay, this is sort of a non sequitur to our conversation, but this is how it comes up in the Gemara. May my portion be among those who eat 3 meals on Shabbat. This is sort of a plug. Anyone who doesn't keep Shal Shudas, anyone who doesn't have the 3rd meal on Shabbos, you should think about doing it, whether it's in shul or at home. Conversation for another time. Apropos, this statement of Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara cites additional declarations. Rabbi Yossi said, may my portion be among those who complete Hallel every day. The Gemara is surprised at this. Is that so? Didn't the master say one who reads Hallel every day is tantamount to one who curses and blasphemes God? Now stop for a second. Why would that be? How could praising God every single day be like someone who curses God every single day?
If you thought of it as saying it in vain, basically, that there wasn't a miracle worthy of it.
Okay, right. So maybe the reason why it's like blaspheming God is because if you're, tainting the water and basically saying, oh, everything is a miracle. I wake up, moda'ani, thank God. And again, don't get me wrong, it is a miracle. And we have different ways of thanking God. But if every single day is a super miracle that we have to say Hallel, the great Hallel, then that could be tantamount to just diminishing when God does a really super big miracle in our minds. So therefore, says the Gemara, further, he displays contempt for Hallel by not reserving it for days on which miracles occurred. The Gemara answers, when we say the statement of Rabbi Yossi, we are referring to the verses of Psuki de Zimra, right? So every single day when we have our Shacharis, our morning services, we say Psuki de Zimra, which are the introductory verses from Tehillim that lead up until Shema. So when he said Hallel HaGadol, when he said the great Hallel, he actually was referring to Psuki de Zimra. But everyone knows that if you say Hallel frequently and certainly every day, then you're a blasphemer, you're a terrible person. So we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, Chizkiyahu was rebuked for not praising God frequently for the fact that he saved him. And on the other hand, we're told that if you praise God too much, well, then you're going to be considered a blasphemer. So what would you say the answer is? Should a person err on the side of being a blasphemer, or should a person err on the side of not becoming the Messiah?
Is Yaakov one rebuke for not saying it all the time? He's rebuked for not saying it at all.
Okay, good.
Say it all the time.
Good. Okay, so the argument in the middle of the road perspective is quite simply, listen, Chizkiyahu was never told to say it 365 days a year. How often should Chizkiyahu have said Hallel? I don't know. I wasn't Chizkiyahu, but we know we have a tradition of he was given certain salvations. In fact, Rashi, the commentary on the Gemara over there, explains that there were two specific moments in Chizkiyahu's life that he received salvation. So it should just, that was very, very specific. So it should have been on those 2 days that he should say Hallel every single year. And so therefore, maybe that's the answer. Don't say Hallel every day, but we should be a little bit more attuned to finding and recognizing the larger miracles in a person's life, and to say Hallel when it's appropriate. So let's kind of throw it out to the room or the Zoom room for a moment. When would a person, in addition to when we normally say Hallel on the Jewish calendar according to the holidays, when else might we say Hallel? It could be a personal example, or it could be a larger communal example. 100%. Someone survives a terrible accident, literally, if you know, on death's doorstep, but they come out of it and they remember that day was, I don't know, whatever. Ray, what day was it? I was gonna say May 14th. So when a person experiences that one day where they see that things are really turning around and they are really being saved, maybe a person should say that that's the day they say Hallel. In addition to when Chazal tells us to say Hallel, when else might a person decide to put Hallel in? Okay, maybe on the birth of a child, right? What greater miracle? That's absolutely wondrous. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, we don't always appreciate that as much, but it's truly wondrous every single time a child is born. And, you know, most people, other than like, who is the one in history who has like half the population that's from him nowadays? Like Genghis Khan or something? Don't they say there was like one like really creepy guy back in the day who had like, done so, oh, whatever, it's not important. All right, so most people don't have that many children, right? So even if a person, even in, again, like, let's say the more right-wing circles where they have, who knows, I don't know, sometimes, over a dozen children, whatever it might be. So even that's not every single day. It's only, you know, 2 weeks out of the year that you'll say Hallel. And so maybe the birth of a child, yeah?
Respond to those things, so we can bench Gomo.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Could be, it seems to me, in some ways more appropriate in many of those personal kinds of things than doing saying Hallel.
Right. So what I would throw back to you, where did the idea of benching Gomel come from? Perhaps it's specifically in response to not wanting to say Hallel too much. Right. So again, it goes all the way back to the times of the Gemara, but who knows exactly? Maybe it came out of this specific concern. I'm not wanting to say Hallel. Hallel is really for very specific things. And again, there are many times when a person comes out of a horrible accident or whatever, and Gomel is appropriate, but maybe it was that exact nuance that the rabbis were concerned about. Okay, so I mean, this is great. So a person has a real salvation. A person has a child. A person experiences a real, real, honest to goodness miracle that anyone objectively speaking would say that is a miracle. Then you say, well, and that's exactly what the Gemara seems to say. You take a look in source number 4 in the Gemara Mesachim. The Gemara asks, and who said this Hallel mentioned in this in the Mishnah? So again, the notion of Hallel nowadays is kind of funny. We look at it as Hallel, but if anyone just looks in this Sitter, you'll note that Hallel is not Hallel. Hallel is just a few chapters of Tehillim, right? So where did this come from, that Hallel is called Hallel? The Gemara answers, the prophets among them established this Hallel for the Jewish people, that they should recite it on every appropriate occasion, and for every trouble, may it not come upon them, they recite the supplications included in Hallel. When they are redeemed, they recite it over the redemption, as Hallel includes expressions of gratitude for the redemption. So quite simply, says the Gemara, Chazal stood up and said, listen, well, actually not Chazal, the prophets before Chazal stood up and said, of all of the pieces of all of the Psalms that we have, these specific paragraphs, chapters 113 to 118, are very, very significant, really talk about redemption, so they are appropriate to be recited any single time someone experiences a redemption. So we understand that to be a communal redemption, and certainly, as you know, when it comes to God taking us out of Egypt and, you know, all the other beautiful Jewish holidays that we have. But on top of that, any single time there is an appropriate occasion, as the Gemara says, when there is a personal trouble or a communal trouble that has nothing to do with the times of the prophets, but it took place 100 years ago or it took place a week ago. So we should say Hallel. So therefore, it would seem very clear that according to this Gemara, that is the standard, that Hallel should be said with some regularity whenever there was a salvation. Now, if this was the case, that unequivocally we would agree that one should say Hallel whenever, not just that they experienced a personal or communal salvation in their time, but seemingly that this is a tradition, right? That we know that on this day, 300 years ago, the community in Yehapetzville somewhere that my great-great-great-grandmother is from, we said Hallel. So what issue might you run into if that's the if that ends up happening, that we allow this recitation of Hallel regularly for all these different things? What issue do we come back to? You'll say it every day, maybe not every day, but again, I have a tradition that this is like the what I like to refer to as the Tachanun conundrum. People hate Tachanun as a prayer more than any other prayer. I don't know why, but if you ever go to a shul on a regular weekday morning and someone finds out that someone is celebrating some sort of occasion, and for that reason the rabbi says no Tachanun today, everyone is so excited. It's like nothing will be greater for those. That's like the highlight of their day, that Tachanun does not have to be said. And so maybe the mentality would just be taken a step further. The rabbi gets up. Not only do we not say Tachanun today, but we actually, it's a random day in the winter, we say Hallel today, because everyone knows that 400 years ago such and such a thing happened. No one really knows it, but the rabbi remembered it, or he looked up in a book and the book told him to do it. And so they say Hallel. And so again, you would run into this issue of, you would probably end up saying Hallel a lot. But let's take a look in a few additional sources. Rashi says further on that same Gemara, he says, source number 5, if God forbid something terrible happens to someone, they should say Hallel if they are saved from it. For example, Hanukkah, right? We have biblical stories of things that have taken place. We know we were taken out of Egypt. We know that we have the holiday of Sukkot, etc., etc. Shavuos, given the Torah, whatever. But Hanukkah has no place on the biblical scene. Hanukkah is a post-biblical story. But no, Hanukkah was a massive communal national redemption. And so therefore, we say Hallel on Hanukkah, not because Moshe said, if anyone thinks that Moshe told us to say Hallel on Hanukkah, then we need to have a history class, because that would have been impossible, right? The Chashmonaim and and seemingly the rabbis, for all intents and purposes of the time, got up and said, we say Hallel on Hanukkah because no, what kind of greater national redemption could you have? And so therefore, it was established that we should have Hallel. And If you take a look at source number 6, there is an important Me'iri. The Me'iri, which is one of the Rishonim, one of the medieval commentators, who was actually lost. Many of his writings were lost for hundreds of years, and only recently found in the last 100 years or so, but he is considered authoritative, even though there are times that he is less frequently quoted by other rabbis throughout the years because they simply did not have the text. But here's what the Me'iri says. Every individual that something terrible happens to them, and they are saved from it, is permitted to say Hallel on that day every single year. But here's the caveat. They should not recite a bracha with this Hallel. And so this is true with every community, as this was the teaching from the prophets that was referred to in the Gemara. Right? So what nuanced point is the Me'iri making over here? What is he concerned about that he says, forget about the bracha, but say the Hallel anyways?
Whether it's commanded by God
or not. Right? Because, listen, at the end of the day, we can talk from here until tomorrow about, is this really a miracle? How real of a miracle? What are the rabbinic definitions of a miracle? And so he says, better than getting into the doubt of what's called a suffix bracha, right? Of a bracha that is said over a doubtful matter. And when it comes to suffix brachos, we always rule lahakel, that we are lenient, that we don't make the bracha. If you are in doubt whether or not a bracha needs to be recited, that is, brachos 101, don't say the bracha if you have any sort of doubt whatsoever. And so therefore, very simple, says the Me'iri, I have a rule that I'll give you. Anytime you feel you experienced a personal redemption, don't you dare say a bracha, because you might be wrong that you should not be saying Hallel. Again, if you could unequivocally say that you need it, that you should be saying it, then of course make a bracha. But because there is somewhat of a doubt, just say Hallel, just say a few paragraphs of Tehillim, and don't say the bracha, and you'll be good to go. And so essentially, therefore, the Me'iri seems to be the most logical thing that a person can do. A person experiences a personal accident. Okay, how big of an accident was it? Were they really on debt? Whatever. Just say just 6 paragraphs of Psalms and call it a day. No bracha, but you'll be thanking God appropriately on that day every single year for the rest of your life, because God gave you a new lease on life. And it seems to be very simple. What's the problem with this? The problem that I wrote right over here is that it doesn't appear in the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam codified all the Jewish laws for Sfardim, but certainly for Ashkenazim, we take notice of what he says. The Shulchan Aruch, as a result, which codifies laws for all of the Jewish people, does not mention this idea at all. And so therefore, we are now really confused as to what to do. The major codifiers of Halacha don't include this law. Everything else that comes before them seems to imply that we should go ahead and say Hallel whenever there is a redemption. What are we to do? So you have to look at the sources that come after the Shulchan Aruch. And what do they imply? Take a look in source number 7, the Magen Avraham, one of the major commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, individuals in a city can make a Purim for themselves whenever there is a miracle that happens. Okay, so again, very simple. A Purim is a really good example because, again, it's one of those kind of post-biblical stories, but really it's still part of the Bible, just not part of the Torah. But God saved us on Purim, and we celebrate. How do we celebrate on Purim, and why is it an astute, why is the word a really important word that he says make a personal Purim? What do we not do on Purim?
We don't say Hallel
on Purim. Why we don't say Hallel on Purim is an interesting question, even though many would seemingly believe that we should say Hallel. The point is, though, that everyone should make a personal celebration for themselves whenever they reach a day that they have what to be thankful for. And so much is this true that if you take a look at source number 8 in the Chaye Adam, one of the great Ashkenazic codifiers of Halacha and commentators, and before the Mishneh Berurah, written by the Chafetz Chaim towards the beginning of the 1900s. So he became the authoritative opinion on much of Ashkenaz law But before him was the Chaye Adam, and no one could learn halacha without knowing what the Chaye Adam said. So we take a look at source number 8. He says as follows. Whoever has had a miracle, and again, this is the 1800s. Whoever has had a miracle occur for them, and all the more so the inhabitants of a city, can establish by popular agreement, right? That's always the big keyword. Nothing is popular anymore. For themselves, and those who come after them, to make that day into a Purim. And it seems to me that the meal which they make to commemorate the miracle is considered at the level of a su'udat mitzvah, right? A meal, a meal that is an important one that should be kept and done on a regular basis, as if to say that even on a regular day of the year, on a Tuesday in the middle of the spring, you normally would just have a banana that day. Well, if it's that specific day that you were saved, so you have more than a banana, have two bananas, have a real meal. So too, do we practice regarding the miracle which was performed for us in the year 5564, the night of the 16th of Kislev. What happened on that day? Absolutely nothing of significance for us, but the Chaye Adam recounts a story that happened in his town. There was a death in the courtyard in which I lived because of a conflagration which started from gunpowder. Several houses in the courtyard fell, including one house that was mine, and the room where my whole family was located, two half walls and one beam fell, etc., etc. He goes on and on, but the point is, in case and point, the Chaye Adam had a night or a day every single year in which he remembered that his whole family almost died, and this whole courtyard of his was totally destroyed, but he and it sounds like many others were saved. And as a result, every single day on the 16th of Kislev, every year from then on out, he would have a Sudat Hodah, a meal of thanks to God. It seems like he implies that he would say a Hallel, he would recite Psalms. As a result, would he make a bracha? Would he not make a bracha? Okay, you can go back and forth. But the point is that he would say Hallel seemingly on this day because of the critical nature of this day, not for us, but for him. And we don't do it nowadays, but I don't know, maybe his descendants somewhere, maybe they, I don't know if we know who his descendants are nowadays, I'm just not sure, but maybe they still say it. And again, if someone had a tradition that for whatever reason, on the 16th of Kislev or any other day of the year, their family always says Hallel, you better believe that they should absolutely, they're obligated to say Hallel, because that is a tradition that that family would have because of some salvation that took place. Now, with all of that said, before we go any further, what do you think about Yom HaAtzmaut? Should we be saying Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut? Again, I don't want personal beliefs. I want, based on the factual sources that we saw in front of us, should you say or should you not say Hallel? Okay, go on. It depends on what?
The creation of the state of Israel on the miraculous nature.
Okay, good. So this is really the crux of the debate. What is the status of the modern day state of Israel? Do we believe it to be an absolute, and again, I don't want political, whatever, I just want to know facts. Do we believe it to be an absolute miracle? Or do we believe it to be, I guess it was a nice thing, God scratched our back for a day, but really, I don't know, there are some issues with it. So what might you say? Don't bring me personal beliefs, bring me arguments that you are aware of or that you know of, in either direction. Is the modern day state of Israel a miracle or not?
Some would say that because it wasn't established by Mashiach, then it's not valid.
One argument might say, we believed for thousands of years that we would be redeemed, we'd come back to the land of Israel, there would be a Messiah, there would be a Beis HaMikdash, there'd be lots of great things happening. Never in a million years did I think that it would be connected to a United Nations vote, right? And so the fact is that at the end of the day, maybe Israel nowadays, although it's very nice, it's not what our rabbis and our prophets had intended. So maybe on the one hand, it's not such a great thing. Good elements to it, but not unequivocally a positive thing for the Jewish people. What else?
The fact that the date that the state of Israel was supposed to be established, all of the Israel was attacked by multiple entities. And we survived that surprise attack and beat them back would be considered very direct. Let's just add the Hashmonean
Absolutely. So the another argument would say, what do you mean? The War of Independence, when we established the State of Israel, miracle after miracle that we got to stay in the land and that it ended up being better for us than we thought it might be. Okay, so that's on the other end. What other arguments are there? Yeah?
Recognizing the date when family was not consumed by the fire, it's very analogous to the Holocaust.
Okay, go on.
Popularly recognized as the end of this fire that consumed a huge percentage of the community.
Okay.
So what's the date that recognized the miracle of that, of coming through that?
Okay, good. Right. So you would could make the argument that the National Day of Salvation that marks the true conclusion of the Holocaust that was in the 40s. So you could say that maybe that is when the State of Israel was declared, because that is the day in which finally we had a real location that any single Jewish person on the face of the earth would never be turned away from. Okay, good. Yeah, go on. It's always good to have more. Better if you bring a point that argues with your first point, but yeah.
Keeping with the guy whose courtyard.
Yeah.
So recognizing that as a miracle, even though after that probably died. It's, I mean, in the end, he wasn't a permanent change in his status.
Okay.
But that we can recognize the State of Israel as a miracle, whether or not it is actually the coming of the Messiah in Israel. But for now, it is miraculous.
So let's just... Okay. Right. So take it at face value. Israel is objectively good. Could it be better? Sure, anything could be better. But is it great? Is it amazing? Is it miraculous? I don't know. I would think so. Good. What are some opinions and perspectives that you might make against that point of view?
You said before about Hanukkah. What was it?
Hallel said on Hanukkah.
I would say that since we don't know the State of Israel is permanent and the Hebronian state was permanent, we should go with faith, although, because it's very similar to the situation of the when the Maccabees.
Okay, good. Right. So maybe, this is really fully comparable to the Hanukkah story that, no one knew. And indeed, our salvation at that point was not permanent, right? We were fully exiled a couple of hundred years later. And so even if someone wants to make the argument that Israel nowadays is not perfect, that Israel nowadays may not be permanent, which is itself a debate if it is not permanent. But we're, at the end of the day, because there is some good in it, then just like our brothers thousands of years ago for the Hanukkah story established Hallel, because they knew that day was objectively good, so too. We should do the same thing for Yom HaAtzmaut. Okay, good. Give me some more reasons why we shouldn't say Hallel. Thank you. Okay, all right. So, thank you. It's okay to say things even if you don't believe them. It's good to, for intellectual honesty, right? So, one of the reasons why Israel could be seen as a negative thing, well, not negative, but not fully miraculous, is similar to the idea that Jim brought before, is that at the end of the day, what would have been truly miraculous if we would have had a country reestablished for us that followed halacha, kedasu, kedin, according to the black and white letter of the law, as it should be, a true return of the Sanhedrin, a return of the Beis HaMikdash, that would have been miraculous. What is Israel nowadays? Well, it is a Jewish state, but it's a Jewish state founded by secularists. And again, we love all Jews, but at the end of the day, when you talk about a Jewish state and you think about even some of the major debates that exist in society nowadays, what a disaster. On some level, sinas chinam, baseless hatred, is worse now than it ever was before, because the State of Israel highlights some of the fundamental debates that we have among the Jewish people. And so therefore, because it was founded by secularists and it was not founded by religious Jews, there's a whole swath of issues that came to be because of this establishment. So is it good? Is it nice? Maybe. But did it create more problems than before? Potentially. And so therefore, maybe you shouldn't say Hallel. Good. What else? Yeah. That's pretty good. Sounds like mostly pro-Hallel here, which was not a surprise. So most of us seem to be under the impression that Hallel should definitely be said because it is objectively pretty miraculous. But on the other hand, since it is maybe not fully miraculous, there are those, and indeed there are those, who say that you should not say Hallel. Now, I want to be clear, and it really is important to be sensitive to this reality, that if a person doesn't say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, they are not part of the Neturia Karta. And in case you don't know who the Neturia Karta are, the Neturia Karta are I think they're still technically Jewish, but they are a totally messed up sect of individuals who side more with the Palestinians than they do with the Jews. For those of us who grew up in New York and attended the Israeli Day Parade every single year like I did, it was always a thing. You would encounter the Neturia Karta when you were marching in the Israeli Day Parade in the middle of Manhattan, and you'd have these guys dressed up as Hasidim, and they would be holding the Palestinian flag, and it was such a Chilul Hashem, terrible. They definitely don't say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, but people who don't say Hallel are not necessarily in that camp. People who don't say Hallel believe from a halachic standpoint that it should not be said because of some of the reasons that we brought up. It does not make them terrible people, but it just offers them a halachic reality that we may not agree with, but it is a halachic reality that is said and offered up by many. It happens to be that, again, because of the wonderful Jewish nation that we are, and our need sometimes to create debate among one another, so nowadays it's really fiery, and it becomes like a big thing. Who says Hallel? Like in the yeshiva world, when I say yeshiva world, I mean like the modern Orthodox yeshiva world, becomes like a big thing. Like, oh, do you say Hallel? Do you not say Hallel? Hallel with the bracha, not with the bracha. And at the end of the day, again, let's understand that the great Gedolim, the great rabbis who cited, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments, which great rabbis we might recognize who did or did not say Hallel, they said it because of halachic reasons, not because of hashkafic reasons, not because they didn't feel like deciding it that day and that they hate Israel. It's not that they hate Israel, it's about a halachic reality. Okay, good, I just had to say that. Now, moving forward, a few final sources that I do want to point to. So there's a wonderful article that I quote part of it in source number 9, written by Rabbi Chaim Jechter, Rabbi Antinek. We've quoted him many times before, and it's Hallel, aptly named Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. And he essentially brings different reasonings back and forth as to why it might be or may not be right to say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. Now, mind you, there is one source that we did not bring up, and this is the source that much of, let's call them old school Satmar Jews used to believe in. They don't believe in it as much anymore nowadays, but back in the day when Satmar was like in its like peak of anti-Zionism, it came from a point of view that is brought up by the Megillat Esther. The Megillat Esther, not the text of Esther, but there is a commentary called the Megillat Esther, who essentially offers up the opinion that maybe God will never return the land of Israel to us until it's actually the right time for redemption, until it's actually the time that we will all become religious once again and fully Jewish-minded in the way that we, quote-unquote, should be according to the black and white letter of the Torah. And therefore, says the Megillat Esther, short of that, and short of Israel being the perfect utopian society that we all would expect in the times of a redemption, so short of that, you would assume that this is actually not what God wants. And therefore, again, going based on this tradition that the Megillat Esther has, you would say, and this is what much of Satmar Judaism said, certainly when Israel and Zionism was very strong, is that they would say that this is the Yetzer Hara. This is the evil inclination. Because if you don't believe in the halachic reality of what's happening, and you think that it's heretical, basically, to say that God is doing this, well, if God's not doing it, that must mean that it's an evil thing to be involved in. And so that's why many in the Satmar world were very anti-Israel, and again, certainly not saying Hallel, again, not Neturia Karta, but certainly not saying Hallel, because they actually think that Israel was a bad thing, it was a negative thing, because of some of the reasons that we brought up. Okay, with all of that said, many of us nowadays do kind of understand that certainly in our community, challah is almost a necessity. That, of course, we say challah on Yom HaAtzmaut because of the fact that there are so many arguments to say challah. There are so many positives that outweigh some of the smaller negatives in the land of Israel. And so, therefore, ultimately, to say challah is unequivocally a value that we have. That's A. B, many people will also say that, let's put the bracha aside for a second, that we don't say challah with the bracha. So again, you have so little to lose. Yom HaAtzmaut is objectively, Israel is objectively a miracle that took place for the Jewish people, a miracle that we have not experienced the level of something like this in literally thousands of years. It's even if you don't believe it's the redemption, it sure looked a lot like it, and it continues to look a lot like it. So because of that, it's worthwhile to recognize it. And maybe, again, you're not going to say Hallel every single day, but to recite a few extra psalms on that day, that might be appropriate to do that. And so therefore, to go ahead and say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut as we recognize the beauty and the splendor that is the day that we got to establish this as the Jewish state for the first time in thousands of years, many are of the opinion that it should be said, again, bracha or not. So let's get to that right now. So in source number 10, I quote for you Rav Avadia Hodaya. He brings this idea that challah should not be recited on Yom HaAtzmaut because of the unstable security situation. Instead, he suggests reciting the chapters of Hallel after the completion of Tefillah. So in other words, this opinion, and some do this nowadays, say that Hallel should be said because you can't not see the beauty of the day and the miracles. But let's be honest here, there are a tremendous amount of issues that go on in Israel on a daily basis. So say Hallel without a bracha, but also not part of davening. Finish davening, right? Whatever it is you need to do to finish davening after Aleinu, after the Yom, and then say Hallel. You throw Hallel in there, meaning you say these psalms because you can't not see the beauty, but don't tell me that there is a halachic obligation to recite the Hallel. So it's sort of not, it's like an in-between of the in-between opinions. And the Chazon Ish, in source number 11, quotes this opinion that some of us spoke about, but again, this is a halachic reasoning. He says, it's inappropriate for this generation, with all of its spiritual flaws, to institute new practices. The Chazon Ish wrote in connection with the establishing Yom HaShoah, and his reasoning applies to instituting the recitation of Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. Many people don't realize that if you're anti-Yom HaAtzmaut and its status as a religious holiday, you're probably also anti-Yom HaShoah. What that means is anti-Yom HaShoah is that who says that we have a right to establish a national day of mourning commemorating the Holocaust on a random day of the year? When should Yom HaShoah actually be, theoretically? On Tisha B'Av. And in fact, there are so many stories that when Yom HaShoah was originally established, actually Menachem Begin came to visit Rabbi Soloveitchik in YU, and they had this debate there in the front of the campus about, should we have a Yom HaShoah, should we not have a Yom HaShoah, is Yom HaShoah Tisha B'Av, is Yom HaShoah, should it be its own day? And the sources go back and forth, but usually, if you don't believe in Yom HaAtzmaut, it just happens to turn out that you don't believe in Yom HaShoah as well, because we don't believe in this ability to establish any sanctity or any importance or values to on the calendar nowadays in this day and age. Now, a few final sources. It's getting a little late, so I'm not going to go through many of these sources, but I want to show you something over here that I made for you at the end, which is a very nice chart. And it's a chart that I think kind of gives us perspective, and we'll just speak about it for a few moments. So there are three potential options here. One is you cannot say Hallel at all. One is you can say Hallel without a bracha. And one is you can say Hallel with a bracha. And as you'll notice, the names of people who say Hallel without a bracha, and there's a much larger list, but it was sort of something that I made up pretty quickly before the class. The people who say Hallel without a bracha are by and large the majority of poskim among the Jewish people nowadays. Because again, you have so little to lose by saying Hallel without a bracha, because again, you're recognizing it's an important day. You're not 100% sure if it's really worthy of a bracha, because again, of the potential doubt. And whenever there's a doubt with brachos, what do? Don't say the bracha, but just say Hallel, because I mean, come on, who doesn't say Hallel?
Saying it in the context of
Of services, yes, exactly. Then there are those who say, What are you talking about? How can you have more of an objectively beautiful day than Yom Ha'atzmut? And so these are people like Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, Rav Shlomo Goren. These are individuals who are probably most put on a pedestal as being the Zionist rabbis, even though I'm not sure that they would. Well, Rabbi Goren probably would call himself a Zionist. I'm not sure if Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook would call himself a Zionist, but whatever it is, that's another conversation. But these individuals would definitely say Hallel with a bracha because they believe, again, it's unequivocally clear how important of a day this is. And then there are the people who say you should not say Hallel. And again, that's a long list. But two people that I thought would be interesting, one is Rabbi Henkin. Rabbi Henkin was the great Ashkenazi posek in America in the early 1900s. And he was respected by everyone. No one did not respect Rabbi Henkin. And the second is the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Chabad, very famously, or maybe not famously, they don't really talk about it too much, but they don't do Yom Ha'atzmut at all. And they don't really do Israel Independence Day at all. That's why it's kind of like Chabad always tries to toe a really fine line when it comes to some communities where Chabad has like schools or they have like preschools and things like that. And so everyone celebrates Israel Independence Day. It's like the easiest thing to do, especially for a less religious crowd, because who doesn't have some Israel pride? Well, Chabad doesn't have so much Israel pride. Again, not because they don't believe in Israel, but because from a halachic standpoint, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was not very pro the halachic importance of the state of Israel, and therefore, as a result, they don't say Hallel, and so they don't do Yom Ha'atzmut, and they don't really do any of this. In fact, if I remember correctly, so last year, when we were still living on Long Island, our daughter Leora, she was in a Chabad school, Chabad preschool, whatever, and her teachers actually did like a Yom Ha'atzmut thing, and I couldn't believe that she came home with anything related to Israel, because again, it's just so not what they do. And I almost said something. I was very close with the Chabad rabbi where I was, I almost said something, but I decided not to, because I assumed that the teacher probably would have gotten in trouble if anyone found out that there was some sort of Israel Independence Day activity taking place in this Chabad school. But the point is, so yeah, Chabad is not very into Hallel. They're not very into Yom Ha'atzmut. There is one additional caveat that we started with, and with this we'll conclude, and it is the question of, does the Israeli Rabbanut, even though essentially they're the ones who established Yom Ha'atzmut as a holiday, do they have the right to move Yom Ha'atzmut to work with the calendar so that there's a concern of the secular Israelis that are going to violate Shabbos, that they should therefore move the day of the holiday around based on, to be sure that they will not violate Shabbos. And so I'm not very sure of any other opinions out there except for one, and that is Rav Schechter in YU. Rav Schechter in YU was very anti moving it around. He said if it's Heiyar, if it's the 5th of Iyar, then it's the 5th of Iyar, and that could be whenever it is. And therefore, as a result, he would always, I believe, I don't want to misquote, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct, he would always say Hallel on Heiyar, on the 5th of Iyar, whenever it is, even if the rest of the Jewish people are saying it on the 4th of Iyar, whatever it might be, he would always do it on the 5th of Iyar. I believe that he still would not say Tachanun on whatever day that the rest of the Jewish people are celebrating, but he would say Hallel. He said, if the day is the day, then it's the day. Then we don't have the right to change it. Again, it's like saying Passover should be a different day. So it doesn't make any sense. So he was very anti-changing it. And case in point, everyone bring me the truest example of how we know that we should not have the right to move the date of Yom Ha'atzmut. What date do we never move? Oh, no. No. No, stop it. No. Keep going, but stop. What? Not Yom Kippur. What? No, stop bringing me biblical holidays. What day do we never move? That's not biblical. That was established in the last 40, 50 years or so. Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim is never moved. Why is Yom Yerushalayim never moved? Because secular people in Israel do not care about Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Ha'atzmut is celebrated by everyone. Yom Yerushalayim is not, by and large, celebrated by secular audiences. And therefore, as a result, the Rabbanut was not concerned that whenever Yom Yerushalayim is, that they'd come to be Machal Shabbos, they'd come to violate Shabbos. And again, case in point, this year, Yom Yerushalayim falls on a Thursday night, Friday going into Shabbos. If they were concerned about the secular Jews celebrating the day, they would be celebrating all Friday night, doing whatever. And so therefore, as a result, clearly there is no concern because it was never moved. And so therefore, if we can say that we're not going to move Yom Yerushalayim, so we probably should have the same thought process for Yom HaAtzmaut, but it's only because of this technicality of really there being a true concern that some secular Israelis would violate Shabbos, and that's why it was moved. But again, it's such an odd, specific example. So there really seems to be, and not that he needs my agreement, but there does seem to be a lot of merit in Rav Shechter's opinion of saying that it should always be the 5th of Iyar, and we should not move it. Because again, even though we want to eliminate and diminish and lessen Shabbos violation, that doesn't mean we have the right to move a holiday if that's when the holiday should be. Yeah, right.
So Israel has no delineation between a secular and a religious holiday. Any holiday in Israel is considered a religious holiday?
What do you mean by that? In theory, yes, but what do you mean by that?
If it's a religious holiday, then you have this question about halal because it's part of davening, it's part of the festivities. But a secular holiday is not bad. If it's a secular holiday, and who says it's secular, the davening and other religious observance is a moving point.
If it's a secular, well, okay, let me separate what you're saying. If it's a secular holiday, then it's a separate conversation. So, for example, I think we spoke about this in this class, the idea of Hallel on Thanksgiving, right? Should you say Hallel on Thanksgiving in America? And there's one shul in America that does say Hallel on Thanksgiving, and it's very unusual. So everyone agrees that Thanksgiving is secular, and everyone agrees that you most likely should not be saying Hallel. They actually, I think, say Hallel with a bracha on Thanksgiving. But as a general rule, if it's secular, it's irrelevant, and if it's religious, it's important. But in Israel, the Rabbanut's in control of these types of decisions. So by definition, it's religious. I'm trying to understand exactly. Yes.
So, in other words, Rabbanu created Yom HaAtzmaut.
Essentially.
As a religious holiday.
Essentially.
If it was a secular holiday, and in other cultures, not just the West, but other countries around the world, Independence Day is not considered
religious.
It is considered a very secular holiday.
Right.
So if you were considered a secular holiday in that vein, this is whole thing is a period. And they also, the movement of the days.
Right.
So therefore.
Let me just pause you for a second. I hear what you're saying. The reason why is it recognized as a religious holiday by anyone who believes that Independence Day in Israel is a religious holiday is because it is the singular most important day to point to the fact that this is the day that the state of Israel became a Jewish state for the first time in 2,000 years. Right. So everyone agrees that there is a religious element to it. Just some people and all those same people would agree that there's no religious element to an Independence Day anywhere else in the world because there's no other state or country in the world that has a religious significance to it.
Wrong.
Uganda?
Most Islamic states?
What is my...
What about other religions? I understand, but that has no bearing on our conversation. There's no other Jewish state in the world. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, my question is answered.
Okay, great.
It was more of just a clarification point, more not an argument.
Okay, great. Stop arguing. Right, so yeah.
Created the holiday.
Yeah.
Could the Rabbanut not declare that you should say Hallel with a bracha?
You could say whatever they want. The problem is that not everyone cares what the Rabbanut has to say. The Rabbanut has authority given to them by the secular state of Israel. And people decide whether or not they have religious authority as given to them by the Knesset, by the Prime Minister. Israel gives the Rabbanut religious.
Today, that any authoritative body or individual would have enough clout to make that determination. I mean, we have the holiday, when we say holiday, the 21 days.
Yeah.
That was done by a body of rabbis.
Yeah. So the answer simply is no, because we don't have a Sanhedrin nowadays. Only a Sanhedrin really has that ability to make a sweeping statement. That's another conversation that actually back in the day they tried to establish a Sanhedrin in the state of Israel, didn't work out. But there are a few people who are of the world who can speak for all the Jewish people, and anyone who can speak for all of, let's say, the more right-wing population, and we would maybe accept what they have to say, they're not going to say what we want them to say in this regard. And so, there's no one really who will speak for everyone. Again, the Rabbanut, at the end of the day, only has as much power and significance as we want to give them in the halachic world. The state of Israel gives them their importance, but unfortunately, there have been chief rabbis, for example, of the Rabbanut, who have not necessarily been the most morally lovely people, and there are many who are some of the greatest gedolim in our history. And so it's sort of, there's no unequivocal value to the Rabbanut. There is just a value that we put to them based on their true Torah greatness. Okay, so with that, as a concluding point, I do believe that everyone should say Hallel without a bracha on Yom HaAtzmaut. The reason why I think you should do it without a bracha is because, again, there are so many reasons that you could run into an issue with saying a bracha, but that does not diminish it at all from being an important element of a religious service and viewing the important significance of the role of religious people to make a religious element of the day of Yom HaAtzmaut, because there is so much importance and beauty in what the day represents for us. As I think I'm preaching to the choir at this point, we all know and understand how important it is that we now have a state of Israel for the first time in 2,000 years. But with that said, part of being a Zionist and a pro-Israel person means that you should also try to be as accepting of other people on the spectrum, no matter what, whether they are anti or pro with a bracha, whatever it is, you should always be accepting of everyone as much as possible, because of the fact that it's always like the great irony. It's like the days like Yom HaAtzmaut, which are all about our future redemption and the beginning of the Geula, sometimes are the biggest hindrance to the redemption because of the tremendous infighting that takes place on these days. So be accepting of everyone, love everyone, and say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut.
So what's going to happen next Yom HaAtzmaut at Shah?
Same thing we've been doing for the last 75 years, saying Hallel without a bracha. it works out when my opinion is the same as the previous rabbi's opinion. Okay. Yeah, thanks everyone for coming out, and see everyone next week. Wish everyone a beautiful night. Good night, all.